This is Beyond Words with Dr. William Campbell, awakening the world to the power of God's Word. And now here is your host, Dr. William Campbell.
Welcome. Our topic today is Seek God for the City. We have as our special guest this morning, Steve Hawthorne. He's a director and founder of Waymakers. Steve, welcome.
Hello. Good to be with you, Bill.
Yeah, we got you just off of a plane, huh?
Yeah. I just arrived for some meetings in the West Coast, but happy to be talking to you and many others.
Well, Steve, we had you on once before, about a year ago, and as the Seek God for the City, 40 Days of Prayer, is just on the verge of beginning, I wanted to get you on and tell people about this, and then we'll open up a lot of topics, I think, that will be of great interest to the people as we think about the broader context of how prayer can impact a city and even a whole country. What is Seek God for the City?
Well, Seek God for the City is a title of a prayer guide, and the ministry I work with, called Waymakers, we've published this distinctive prayer guide for every year for the past, I don't know, 18 years, and every year is a different, fresh, different take on things, different prayers, renewed and edited. Sometimes we recycle some of the prayers from earlier years, but we always change them a little bit. But what it is 40 days of prayer for people throughout one's community. It is not a devotional as such, you know, where you're giving yourself to God in fresh ways every morning and evening. And I'm, of course, wildly enthusiastic about people devoting themselves to God, but this is not a devotional. Seek God for the City is a tool to help people learn the art and the heart of praying for other people in their community and really praying on a community-wide scope. Mm-hmm. And so it's that's the nature of the prayers that are come from scriptures, each one. And then another dynamic that's really cool about Seek God for the City is that 40 days of prayer, it's 40 days leading up to Palm Sunday. And so this year it starts February 13th. And so it's already underway. It goes to March 24th, I think, is Palm Sunday.
Okay, so can we still get into it? Do you recommend getting into it?
Oh, yeah. See, we have people, we've been doing this a lot of years in different ways, and I think there's about, we think there's no less than 3,000 churches, probably more like 4,000 churches that use this prayer guide every year.
Mm-hmm.
And we can't tell exact number because very often one church will order for three or four others, and distribute them throughout their church, and so that's how most of these printed prayer guides. It's a 64-page booklet with a few select scriptures for every one of the days, and it's also in an app form, which I'll tell you more about. But what we find is that people will often hear about it on day 12 or day 20 or something, and if they just jump right in, they find it enormously valuable and helpful. It doesn't seem to fall apart if you start late, and we've never heard of anybody getting a prize or a prayer medal for doing all 40 days. I actually sometimes encourage people to when I'm talking to people, I say, please, could you all just try to miss one of the days? You people that are perfectionists really really stress out the rest of us. We feel like we can't catch up to you. And I think that's the kind of mood and the attitude I think we need to take toward prayer is not some sort of religious stricture where we've got to fervently try to perform a particular procedure, and only then will God hear us. No, let's keep growing, and there's times when we surge and exert ourselves, and we gain new strength during those times. And frankly, there's other seasons in our life where things seem to go a little bit more slack and things get busy and all that. And I urge people, don't worry about that. The whole point is not to get a perfect streak of quiet times or something. God would not be impressed with, you know, excellent time management. That's really not the issue.
Yeah.
The issue is to keep growing throughout our days, and we grow best with some rigorous exertion for periods of time that turn into a season where we learned a whole new way of going after it, new fresh strength. And that's why Seek Off a City has been so helpful for so many people, because a 40-day period, and even if it's shorter for some, it might start late, 20 or 30 days, it's a good way to build up your sense of rigorous pushing to be before God every day on behalf of others.
Well, Steve, I've enjoyed the prayer guide. It's excellent. Do you recommend it be used not just for individuals, but maybe couples or groups, family? You know, what other ways it can be used?
Oh, yeah. So, like I mentioned, Seek God for the City, a 64-page booklet. It's available at low cost and bulk quantities. So churches often will buy 200, 500 or so, or if it's a small church, they'll buy 95 copies or something like that. And then what they'll do is to make them available for a donation for a buck or something. What that means is the cost is defrayed. And we have different price ranges, by the way, for people ordering. They can order, any business day. We're open in the Central Time Zone. Call us at 800-264-5214.
264-5214, 800 number. Okay.
800-264-5214, and that and you can call and we can discuss ways of getting this to you in a hurry. And the prices are attractive. They're priced at $3 each, but actually. If you order 100, it drops down to I think $1.90 or something like that. So it starts becoming very affordable. Anyway, churches will distribute them in one way or another. And what's really cool is we have pastors that will preach a sermon on one of the verses that are in the prayer guide. And there's numerous churches that have, the Seek God for the City season. There's about, this year I think it's about three towns where the mayor has proclaimed it Seek God for the City month or something like that.
Oh, cool.
Yeah, we find people putting Seek God for the City on their Facebook, church's Facebook site and all that. But, there's numerous ways for us to pray together. Now, think about this, Bill. We always do our best praying when we're praying together. You know, I really doubt that anybody's best prayer, they were all alone doing it. How can we pray together well? One of the simplest and most gratifying and joyous ways to unite our prayers is to form our prayers around what we all know to be true, and that's the Bible. And so instead of trying to, guess and just repeat requests to God, Seek God for the City prints up included some prayers that are directly springing up forth from this from select scripture. So you read the scripture, then you read the prayer, and what that does when groups of people do it together. Then it's not like we're just saying these magic words that work. No, you can see this is the Bible. We believe this. We're united in faith on this. And so I'd urge people to, whenever they're praying with other people, try to find one Bible verse. Read it. See if your prayers can ring true with that scripture that you've read. And you will find a sense of unity in your praying. And joy and a creativity starts coming about when different people see different aspects of this passage and speak it out in prayer and others agree with that. It's so easy to agree when the point of agreement is the Bible. So that's one thing that Seek God for the City helps with. But anybody listening to this, I'm not about trying to sell a bunch of booklets. I want people to pray the rich, wonderful promises of God.
Yeah, yeah. Steve, it's fun perusing your website. And to the listener, if you Google Waymakers, you'll come right to it. What is the actual URL? What's the address
Waymakers.org.
O-R-G.
Waymakers.org, and that's Waymakers.org. And at Waymakers.org, you'll find a variety of different ways to help us pray with fresh confidence and clarity based on Scripture.
And that's what I want to talk about. For example, you describe saturation prayer. Tell us what that is.
Well, first, let me mention one more thing about the Seek God for the City.
Okay.
People listening will want, many of them will want the booklet. Call us. We can get it to you quick at a modest price, and or go online and order at waymakers.org. But there's another format, and that's the app. We have Seek God for the City 2013 as an app, and it only costs 99 cents on Android or Apple platforms.
Mm.
And so go to iTunes or Google Play. Depending on your device, your tablet, it works on tablets and smartphones of any kind. So that's one way that people can jump into this within minutes.
Excellent.
And so go for that. Now, you asked another question about saturation prayer.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, tell us what that means.
Well, I could tell you a little bit of the background of where it came from. There, what in Latin America, some missionaries got kind of tired of trying to do evangelistic campaigns where they'd invite a few people to come and or knock on a few doors and talk to a few people. And what they decided to do, they says, let's try to do something where everybody hears the gospel. And they called it saturation evangelism.
Hmm.
And so some prayer leaders, and I was amidst them, began to look at evangelism endeavors and other outreach ministries of different sorts where we care for the poor or whatever, and all these different ministries. And then we looked at prayer, and we started realizing that God was stirring his people to pray for people of the community. Hmm. And so we set out this simple idea, and listen to this simple idea, to pray for everyone throughout a community. What can you imagine every single person in a city or a town or a community or a neighborhood or school, imagine it any which way you want, but every single person has been prayed for in Jesus' name by caring Christian neighbors, what would happen in a prayed for city? So that saturation prayer really only ever happens when people start envisioning the prospect of a day when every single person has been prayed for.
Hmm.
That's not so far out of reach in many communities, and. And we can go for it. So saturation prayer starts saying, let's saturate our city with prayer. Let's do it intentionally. You can never do such a thing accidentally. You can't spasmodically kind of drive around and there's a red light, so you're bored, and it's commercial, so you turn your radio off, and then, oh, hey, I'll pray for that lady crossing or that homeless guy holding a sign. You know, okay, good for you. Spontaneous prayer, you know, it was all for the good.
Mm-hmm.
But, you know, don't tell me that was your best prayer.
Mm.
and don't tell me that's all that God wants to hear from his people. And so we can do a lot better, and without a whole lot of exertion, but intentionality, let's go after it. So I'll ask people, I'll say this, look, think about this. Which would be harder, to present the gospel to every person in a community or to pray for every person in the community? Think about it. Which is harder, present the gospel to everyone or pray for everyone. I've never heard anybody do anybody say, "Oh, well, that's kind of obvious."
Right. Yeah,
the praying for everyone would be easier. Evangelizing would be harder. I say, "Well, let's start with the easy part. Let's do the easy part first." And then I ask this: I say, "Could you imagine? You know, why would you want to talk to somebody with the gospel? Why would you talk to anybody that you haven't even prayed for?"
Wow.
And no, what? It's not like there's something magic about prayer. Believe me, that's not what I'm trying to say. But the best and the most wonderful things unfold somehow downstream from our praying. And so let's go for it. Let's give God a prayed-for city. Come on, that's a mess. What less can we do of all the things that Christians can do to serve and help and enable other people in empowering ways, in compassionate ways? And I'm talking about feeding hungry people. I'm talking about, you know, helping illiterate people read. All those things. Can you imagine all those things? There's one way that people can serve other people that only Christians can do, and that's pray for you in Jesus' name.
And any Christian, someone can be on her deathbed and still utter prayers.
Right. Talking about that. I just was visiting somebody in the hospital, and they're a Christian, and they asked the nurse for the names of the people on their hall.
Wow.
And she's praying for the people on her hall, and asked, "Could I get on a wheelchair and just roll down there?" And she wasn't. She was prayer walking, even though she couldn't walk. But she wanted to, and she's just looking at this comatose person, but breathing. And that person was being prayed for. That duration prayer, right where you live, and it's not. This isn't hard. But let's try it. Let's do it.
Love it. Now you mentioned prayer walking.
Yeah.
Tell us more about that, and maybe give a story of or more.
Well, prayer walking is, and listen to this simple definition. It's prayer walking is simply praying in the places in which we expect to see God bring forth His answers. That definition is simply praying where God is about to do something. So the basic idea here is that God is doing things, and He's about to do better things. That is astounding. What I just said, a lot of us, you know, need to refresh our faith and confidence that that's true. I'll say it again. God is doing good things, and He's about to do better. If the Bible's even 10% true, then God, some of the best things that are ever going to happen in history that God's going to do have yet to take place. I think He wants them all prayed for before they happen. So that basic idea, God is doing things in people's lives. Now, prayer walking is simply getting closer to pray clearer.
I like that.
And it has more to do, you see, with our weakness than it does with the power of prayer or something. I don't know how many times I've heard, and pardon me, Bill, if you have a book out or something, but there's, I think I found about 23 books titled "The Power of Prayer," and there's innumerable sermons called "The Power of Prayer," and we're focusing on the wrong thing. We shouldn't focus on the power of prayer as such. It's the power of God, and it's the purpose of God that's really astounding. And so prayer walking is simply getting closer to pray clearer. Now, why can't we pray in our Barca lounger or lazy boy chair or pray in the church basement? He says, sure, you know, prayer is not about God being able to hear us from anywhere. Jesus said it very clearly. Your Father knows what you need before you ask. So it's not a communication issue. What is the real issue is that we are sometimes so blind and self-absorbed in our own concerns that we can't envision or imagine the good things that God intends to do. And so prayer walking is simply getting closer to people as you're praying for them. So that little example I gave of somebody in a hospital praying for the other patients in the same floor, she was actually she asked the nurse to do it, but her daughter helped her roll down, and she would pray for the people, you know, the people slowly, quietly, and all that. Mm-hmm. Other prayer walkers, I know some guys in Baltimore that are, you know, they have 100 homes, and it's their prayer flock, they call it. That's their flock. Because they're prayer pastors, they call it.
So these are just homes in the city, and they're reaching out and touching through prayer.
Well, yeah. Wow. But it happens on Saturday morning, and they have some guy noticed them walking around every Saturday morning and kind of waving at some of the houses, not making a big deal. And he said, "Hey, what are you guys doing?" "Oh, we're praying." I said, "Hey, can I join you?" He's a Lutheran guy, and they did Presbyterians, and sure, why not? So now they've had other people join them, and they're prayer pastors, they call it.
Mm-hmm.
And they have their 100 homes, and they're all in a particular neighborhood, and every week they pray for everybody and everything that happens in that home slowly. Now, if you were watching them do this, it would look like they're just slowly walking. Mm-hmm. They don't kneel down in the driveway and do some crazy gesticulations or something.
That's good.
Now, a lot of people are afraid of prayer walking because they think you do wild stuff like spray some oil on things and lay your hands on stuff or wave your hands or, like I said, kneel down in driveways. No. I like to say prayer walking is simply, it's really being on the scene without making one.
I like that.
I'd urge people to think of a time when you've prayed for somebody spontaneously, like that situation I described. You had a red light. There's a guy that his sign says, "Please help," and you say, and it occurs to you, this guy needs help. I can't give. I could pour out. I could empty my bank account, and I'm not sure it would really help in a way he really needs help from you, God. Now, I'm not saying don't give to people there. I'm just saying that it's possible to recognize that God has more to do than we can. And so you can pray right there during the red light. Pray. You don't know his name, but you just pray for that guy. That's prayer walking. You weren't walking. It's not. Mm-hmm. It's not about walking around. It's not praiseercise. It's simply being praying in the very places you expect God to bring forth the answers. So probably a lot of people listening have already done that. They didn't know it was legal or something, or maybe thought you need a license for it, or shouldn't religion be a private? Jesus say go into a closet? Hmm. Well, he's talking about devotional prayer there. But you find Jesus actually looking over a city and praying for it. Oh, Jerusalem, he's just weeping. He was praying. When he wanted to pray for children, what did he do? He touched them. He blessed them. And so he got close. And so there's numerous examples. I've written a book about it, Prayer Walking.
That's the title of your...
with insight. Yeah.
Okay.
The title of the book is Praying On Site with Insight, Prayer Walking.
I love it. Steve, this leads to a question I have. We're going to take just a very short break to our listeners. We have Steve Hawthorne on the air. He's the director of Waymakers International. And we're learning a lot about how to seek God for the city. Not only the title of a prayer guide they put out, but there's a lot of strategy behind it. So hold on just for a minute.
Have you ever wanted to read the entire Bible from cover to cover? Most Christians have. And you may even be among those who have attempted it. Yet only 10% of Christians have ever read the entire Bible. B90, or Bible in 90 Days, is a Bible reading program that can help you achieve this important goal for your life and for your spiritual development. By reading only 12 pages a day, you and your friends, your Bible study group, or even your entire church can read the Bible in 90 days. To find out more about B90, visit us on the web at scriptureawakening.com and click on B90, Bible in 90 Days. Read every word that God has spoken and shared with humanity. Check it out. That's B90 at scriptureawakening.com.
Welcome back. We're glad you're with us this morning. Steve Hoffner is our guest. He's the director of Waymakers International. We've been talking under the title Seek God for the City. Steve, this is a prayer guide you all put out each year, and it tends to be 40 days during the season of Lent. We're a little late. We apologize to our listeners, but you can still tune into it. And Steve, you mentioned in addition to ordering from your website, we can go on to iTunes or Google and get download it for our apps. For tablets and phones.
Yeah, it's an app, the Seek God for the City 2013. Mm-hmm. You can find it on Google Play for your Android platform, smartphones and tablets, or the iTunes App Store, for your Apple products. 99 cents, so it's not going to break your bank, but man, is it functional. It has all kinds of little features, like you can set your alarm three or four or five times each day, or different on weekends or Tuesdays, a different schedule. So I got mine clicked off to get me going in the morning with it. And actually, I have it set also to go off at night, at about 10 o'clock, I have it go off. Mm. And what do I do then? Well, then I just remember what I prayed that morning. Mm. God, I really meant that. And so, Seek God for the City, the basic idea is to help ordinary people pray for in extraordinary and clear and simple ways from Scripture during the 4 days leading to Palm Sunday. It's during the Lenten season, but it's not like most Lenten prayer guides. Most Lenten prayer guides are helpful because they help us look into the interior of our lives. Seek God for the City is a great counterpart to that because it's all about praying for the people throughout our community. And so you'll find creative and very helpful ways to pray with real solid biblical substance.
Mm-hmm. I just found it here on my iPhone, and so I'm going to download this. Mm-hmm. Steve, now coming back, we were talking about prayer walking, and I want us to go a little further on this. You talk about it not just a matter of being closer, but you're praying clearer, meaning it's not so much that we have a God who hears us better, because he hears us wherever we are, but we're listening better as we get closer, more in proximity.
Exactly. Yeah, but the real problem in prayer is not to get God to hear, but to get us to hear and to see.
Hmm.
And so prayer walking gets us closer, and for example, I just challenge anybody to walk down a street that is on your kind of daily route that you drive down. Just try it. You'll be surprised to find little human things, little things go on. And one lady, she told me, she says, I was driving around my neighborhood, that same thing, and when I prayer walked, that's when I noticed the little toys on the porch, little kid toys. I thought, that's an older lady that lives there. She's driving a Buick, but what are the toys? And then you realize, wow, she's got grandkids that come. And then you go down a little bit further and you go, what are those kids doing in the yard at 10:30 on Tuesday? They should be in school. And you start saying, whoa. Or it occurs to you while you go slowly past an apartment complex that how many of the people living in apartments are trying to piece things together from shattered marriages. All these apartments are basically warehousing our broken families to a great extent. Mm-hmm. Those kind of ideas come to you when you kind of pass by slowly and let God's Spirit kind of awaken you to what He may be doing in the lives of people right around you.
And there is something biblical also, isn't there, about proximity? There is both a sense of like the territories that where there are angels and dark spirits, and we can invade those territories. And then as you get closer and closer, you get to the point of you can even touch someone and pray for them, And the Bible talks about the laying on of hands, and it's a symbol of authority, but there's also the healing touch. Think of the touch of Christ. So
yeah.
I love the idea of prayer walking. You're getting into the city, you're getting into the neighborhood, right near the person's property, and for various reasons, there could be more power.
Yeah. Now, one thing, just to flash back to this prayer resource, that we want everyone to get a copy of it,
mm-hmm.
is that Seek God for the City. You mm-hmm. know, call our 800 number, 800-264-5214,
mm-hmm.
or go to our website, waymakers.org. Get yourself a copy of Seek God for the City, 64-page booklet, doesn't cost much. But on every day, 40 days, there's a different subgroup. University students or mothers or gangs or sick people. They're not people groups as such because the news media is one of the groups. That's not a people group.
Mm-hmm.
But what it contains, part of the day's prayer, is a scripture that is pertinent to that group and some specific ideas how you might pray. And then there's a prayer walking idea.
Excellent.
And so if people just want a resource that'll help them with some creative ideas for prayer walking for different parts and peoples and groups of your city, Seek God for the City is a lasting resource for that. Or it's in the app as well.
Excellent. Excellent. Steve, you mentioned people groups, and it leads me to another topic. We knew each other back in the days when you wrote the book Perspectives on the World Christian Movement. Mm-hmm. I notice you still have that up for sale. It's on your website. Tell us about that and how that might relate to prayer.
Perspectives on the World Christian Movement is a book and a course, and the book is actually, I co-edited it with the great missiologist Ralph D. Winter.
Mm-hmm.
There are over 100 authors in the fourth edition. It's actually not a big book. It's really 172 little books that all got stuck together. So don't be intimidated by it. That's why it's about in the United States. We have extension courses where there are thousands of ordinary people that work through a 15-lesson course every year. There we have about 250 courses every year and about 10,000 students, if you can imagine that. 10,000 people every year work through the Perspectives course in the U.S. in the USA. We're pretty close to that.
It is an excellent course.
Yeah.
Highly recommend it.
And so what it's all about is God's purpose and what great things God is fulfilling in all the earth. First of all, and primary, is that he's bringing about movements of obedience and love for Jesus Christ in every people throughout the earth. Every place, every people, Christ will be loved and followed. He'll be famous amongst all. He'll be followed by many in every people. And that's what evangelization is all about. But that's just the beginning of all God wants to do. We see once he has a following, people who love and follow him and obey him, they're learning how. They're growing like we all struggle and grow. Once that's a reality in every people, which it's not yet, but it will, then you see God has a lot of room to move to begin to change society, change lives, increase the strength and hope within families and the righteousness, the justice, and just the peace that is brought forth by the Spirit of God. The very fruit of the Spirit is intended not just to happen in church buildings. The fruit of the Spirit, love, joy, peace, patience, self-control, all that is supposed to be reverberating and flourishing in our cities, in our ordinary interaction and discourse throughout our whole society. And so what God is doing throughout the earth, and it won't fail, is getting his son followed. And as that comes about, then Jesus Christ has a servant people that he can use as his blessings to throughout their community. And one of the ways that we can be a blessing to our community that we know is very much what God wants is to pray for that community.
Mm-hmm.
And so, one of the verses that is repeated, at least the idea is repeated five times in Genesis alone, and multiple times throughout the Bible, is the idea that the basic thing he told Abraham was, in you and in your family, all the peoples of the earth will be blessed. Hmm. I'm going to bless you, and you will become a blessing. Hmm. And that blessing is a global scale. But blessed to be a blessing. And so I often ask people, look, how are you possibly going to be a blessing if you haven't even prayed one?
Hmm.
So
yeah.
It's a wonderful thing to be confident that God has great things he wants to do through his people in communities like ours.
Yeah, yeah. Steve, thinking about the title, Perspectives on the World Christian Movement. It's interesting, isn't it, to think how Christianity started there in the Middle East, and now it's mostly Muslim. And as it spread throughout Asia and came westward, things are looking real good, but I think we have lost, and I'm guessing this is why you've gone into this ministry of prayer, we've lost the power, we've lost the source, we've lost our foundation. And so people now from other parts of the world are sending missionaries to us. Talk to us about the kind of the movement of Christianity in the world. Where is it alive? What do we need? You know.
The strength of Christ followers has shifted from the North America, Europe, Canada, Australia, and New Zealand. That's basically the conventional, what we call Western society. That civilization, which it's emerged as greater Christendom, there's still a great amount of strength, and God is doing wonderful things to revive His church and bring the fresh new followings and hope and faith and love in His people. And so it's not all decrepit and falling apart. We got to be careful we don't take too dim a view or to get too pessimistic. But there's no question that there, in some churches in America, there's significant decline. At the same time as things are declining in the West, England and Australia and America, we find things just sprouting forth and burgeoning with incredible growth in places in many parts of Africa, Latin America, and Asia. And the largest churches in the world are in Asia and Africa. I was at a place outside of Lagos in Nigeria where we're gathered a million people very often to pray.
Wow. It's hard to imagine.
Talk about a prayer meeting, they just do that, And it wasn't like a big deal. They could just do that. And so there's astounding things going on. Christ has never been more loved and followed as he is right now as we speak, and yet Amen. At the same time, never has Christ been more hated and despised and opposed as we find at this very moment we speak. And so these are dramatic and astounding times where there is truly a global Christian movement. And it's very crucial, I think, for every believer to have a sense of identity that you are part of an enormous global family of people who follow Christ of many different streams and traditions. But it's a marvelous day.
It seems to me if we who are in America, if we could all just get overseas, for example, you mentioned Nairobi, but different parts of the world, if we could experience what God's doing, see what's happening, it would bring fresh life into our own walk with God.
It's true. It depends on what kind of experience. A lot of people go off on short terms.
Right.
And if there's a move that I'm not so happy with, And that's a move to that says that it sees that it can be a really great discipleship endeavor to have high school kids fly it down to Haiti or go to the Dominican Republic and work at an orphanage, paint it green again, and then come back and they got to see the poor people, and they got to feel guilty about how much more rich they are, and then they come home with kind of a poverty shock experience, and a lot of sleep deprivation and other standard gimmicks we know from summer camp how to inculcate a sense of fresh devotion and commitment to God. And so what's going on here is not mission. It's a different form of summer camp. The youth directors are very often in charge, not mission leaders.
Mm-hmm.
I have nothing against youth directors. Great,
right,
but
right.
Why are they leading it? So often it amounts to not much more than expensive jet lag.
Mm-hmm.
I
get you, and that's not, of course, what I was talking about.
So here's what to do. The one simple thing: come back to prayer walking.
Mm.
If every short-term mission made a key part of their endeavors to pray on their feet, eyes wide open, with scripture in hand, I think we would start having a vision of what God is doing in these places and be encouraged. I don't think we obey much further than we pray.
Good.
And so I'm trying to urge anybody going on a short-term mission, urge us, let's do prayer walking. Waymakers, we publish several wonderful prayer guides that help prayer walkers. They're called the Ways to Pray series. They're not dated like the Seek God for the City. That's good too, but the little prayer guides are very helpful. We sell thousands of them for prayer walk experiences and short-term missions around the world. So people actually do get to see what is God doing. And then you can see, if you can see that with hope, then you have a lot more ability to negotiate a sense of wow, how's this suffering going on here? What's going to happen to these orphans? If you don't have a basis to hope that God is at work, you're just going to, you'll come home and you will basically find that those memories of that experience kind of set aside, and you'll have to defend yourself from it instead of embracing it.
So right, right.
We'll pray our way forward, or we're not going anywhere, really.
Yeah.
No matter how many time zones you jump.
Yeah. I mean, people from a journey like that may come back and say, wow, we've got it pretty good here, you know. Look at these nice roads. I got milk again and graham crackers to dip, you know. But when, if you get into an experience overseas, like you mentioned, at Nairobi, all over the world there are places where God is breaking through in power. It's interesting when you do the look at world Christianity, the places where it's really growing, people believe that God is the God of miracles still.
Oh, yeah.
And they believe in the power of prayer and how we need that again. At least another topic, Steve, you talk some on your website about united prayer. Why, what's this thing about united prayer? Why is it important? And let's get into a little bit how it has affected our country in the past when people came together, not mechanically, not organizationally, but when somehow the Spirit of God moved the masses.
Yeah. There are times and seasons. We know from just looking back at the records in history, there are times and seasons when God moves dramatically throughout the hearts and minds of many throughout a community in ways that could never be orchestrated, or it's not a Facebook trick or anything like that. It's a sovereign move of God where people are suddenly disgusted and nauseated with their sin and their brokenness, and they suddenly see hope. That God will move. And basically, Seek God for the City, we think that's why Palm Sunday is such a wonderful focal point, is people are shouting Hosanna, which is save us. And there's a whole city was saying, we want this man to lead us. Come on, who are you? And the whole city was stirred saying, who is this? Well, days of of revival and spiritual awakening are almost always preceded by seasons of prayer, and they're times of desperation in prayer, often times of brokenness in our communities, and economies and society and values start finding a real precipitous downward slide into all the other great awakenings that America's experienced. It's not that the revival is an automatic thing that God has on some sort of cycle.
Right.
No, it's an act of mercy on his part. But prayer seems to be associated with it.
Mm-hmm.
It's always different. We can never, God doesn't tell us, have exactly 300 people pray for 500 hours and I'll have to break through.
Mm-hmm.
You know, if there really was a little mechanism to how to make a revival happen, Jesus would have taught it and told it.
Mm-hmm.
But he doesn't. He just taught them to always pray, never lose heart, keep on praying night and day, and God will find faith on the earth. And that's what we're trying to encourage is to take it seriously enough that we give God a season of intentional praying for God to move dramatically and grandly on a grand scale throughout our communities. Those kinds of prayers stretch our faith and our hope on a order of magnitude where we start seeing how great our Lord Jesus really is.
You know, I think of Charles Grandison Finney, that old-time revivalist in the, I guess, 1800s up in New England. He wrote the Lectures on Revival. And on one, there are two things I could say about that. One is we can't just copy a certain pattern, as you're saying, and make it happen. This is in God's providence. On the flip side, though, God used him greatly because there are things, steps we can take to seek God. And this is kind of what you're about, isn't it, with Waymakers? You're saying, let's make a way for God. We can seek God for the city right where we live. We can do prayer walks.
Yeah, there's a way to prepare the way for the Lord. It's the Lord himself that's going to do anything, but we can prepare his way by bringing forth a sense of expectation that someone great is coming, and he's going to do something marvelous. So prayed for people find themselves looking forward to what God may do.
Yeah.
I pray for people like a plane. I just got off. The person next to me slept the whole way. I didn't get a chance to pray with her, but sometimes I'll just ask people in a natural way in the course of a conversation. You know, it's like, I sometimes pray for people where they're facing an impossible situation. Maybe God's not finished yet. How can I pray for you? And then I always bring up a scripture and read it. Or it's amazing how many times it's the very verses I was reading that morning. And then I pray real simple, kindergarten simple, not long, fantastic prayers like with magnanimous and all that. No, you just real simple, so that you're not showing off and that you're giving them a pattern they can pray. And then I actually give my number. I say, please call me when it looks like God has begun to answer our prayer. Because I gotta thank him as he begins to bring surprising answers to our prayer. I bet God's going to do something better than we asked. So don't look for him to do exactly like you thought. Maybe he's going to do better. But please let me know. I've had amazing relationships with people.
Steve, I was on the phone just over a week ago with a national board. For 2 years, we were looking for a new director. We'd done all the right stuff, get the resumes out, go through the networks and on and on. We were on the phone. We said, you know what? 2 years and not a single applicant. Let's try prayer. So we took 15 minutes and prayed together on the phone. The next day, there were two applicants. And now, a short while later, we've got 8 people applying for the job. And I guess what we're saying here in this program is we need to believe in the power of prayer. And we should apply it right where we are, seeking God for the city. Steve, we've got just a minute and a half left. Any final comments you want to make?
Well, no.
Challenge for our listeners.
Well, the challenge is simply the fact, the great truth, is that God is about to do some of the marvelous things that He's promised. If He's not going to do them in our day, He'll be doing it sometime. And it's never the wrong thing to do, to ask God to do a great and marvelous thing. He's never disappointed. He's never frustrated. It's impossible to embarrass God by asking him to do something that is just too much love and grace and power. Now, let's ask great things, and it's time to pray great things. So that's why I'd urge people to find a way to pray Scripture. Seek God of the City can help. Mm-hmm. The app can help, but find a way, which is open your Bible and pray from there.
This has been Steve Hawthorne with Waymakers International. Go to waymakers.org. I encourage you to get the tool Seek God for the City is a book or a download for your electronic app. And we want to thank you for being with us today. Steve, thank you for taking time out of your jet-set schedule. And we wish blessings on you as you continue to encourage people to pray.
Great. Thanks, Phil.
All right. Take care.
This has been Beyond Words with Dr. William Campbell. Beyond Words is a ministry of Scripture Awakening. And if you'd like to help support this ministry, or if you would like to know more about Beyond Words, visit us on our website at scriptureawakening.com.